Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now hear it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When you try to make sense of all the things that are going on in the world today, it's sometimes overwhelming. But that's by design. That's what anarchy is. It's disorder, you see. It's rebellion, and rebellion is witchcraft, and it was the original sin. It grieves me that they're taking down all these Civil War statues, and I see this morning that the Marines, you can't have a Confederate flag symbol on anything, a cup or anything. They won't allow it. And what they're trying to do is rewrite history. But if you know anything about history, the Civil War wasn't rebellion. The Civil War was that two could no longer walk together. They didn't agree. And when two can no longer walk together, that's why we have divorce, and that's why we have segregation, and that's why we have succession. Not secession. And parting of ways in business and all sorts of things. If you just simply can't walk together. But if you keep that thing together, it's chaos. You see, Satan is anarchy. God is order. Now, I like to boil everything down. I have a very vivid imagination. And I have this stove. And I've got this old white stove, and I've got this old pot, and it's a real simple pot and a real simple stove. If I can get everything boiled down to there, then everything seems to come clear to me. And so I like to boil everything down to its lowest denominator. So you have all of these things and too many to mention between pandemic and riots and lives, whatever. But life to me is like a chessboard. I can see it. I've got a chessboard that I made in the eighth grade. Still have it. And it's like a chessboard. It's like a game of chess. I don't know. I intended to do some history on the game of chess. I did that some time ago. Don't remember it. And you have two kings. And basically that's what's going on. There's two kings. You've got the king of this world, Satan, and you've got the king of kings and Lord of Jesus Christ the Lord, God Almighty, the Holy Ghost of God. And in between those two kings, you've got players. And you've got all sorts of players. You've got players that move this way and players that move this way. And you got players of different colors. And you got players of different sizes. All shapes and forms, and they all have certain gifts, all of those players, and you have to know those gifts of those people, and that's how those kings use those things in between. You got black and white, dark and light, but one side's different than the other. One side possesses the armor of God. I'm talking about in this life, what we just read. Those that are in Christ, they possess the armor of God, and they go out When I was a kid, not even knew that. My favorite hymn was Onward Christian Soldiers. I was a soldier. I guess I've been a soldier my whole life. I've had a gun on since I was a little kid and a sword in one hand and on marching as to war. And on the other side, you've got total depravity. Chaos. But very well organized chaos, okay? You've got, we just read it, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. The amazing thing to me is that this book, this glorious Bible, this Word of God is so much more pertinent today than when I first began. It's like I'm reading it and I don't get it and like, wow, when's that going to happen or when did that happen? And now I'm reading it and I go, wow, that's today's headline. We must never underestimate our opponent because they possess, now listen, on this earth, they possess and utilize the same power we do. Where do you think that rascally devil got his power? He was second in power only to God. And he can counterfeit all the things that God does down here. And his last counterfeit would be the virgin birth. If you know anything about prophecy. He can break. Didn't they say, we've done many wonderful works and we've cast out devils, but they weren't even Christians. He said, I never knew you. So what's the difference? You see, that's the rub. Is that they're so close. The devil was almost God, if you'll pardon the expression. He wasn't, but I mean, he was second in command. He was created by God. He was the anointed cherub. He was in the garden of God. The only difference is faith. It's above all. And this we must have, in that the battle is ours, decided at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. And in that lies our faith. The whole armor of God, but one, the Bible says, is above all. Above all, you see it? Above all, taking the shield of faith, verse 16. Above all the rest, the shield of faith. For by grace are you saved, but through what? Faith. Through faith. Faith is the victory, oh glorious victory, that what? Overcomes the world. Any wonder it's above all? It overcomes the world. That's where we are. It's what faith is. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Surely you know it. I've taught it to old folks at nursing homes. What is it? Substance of things hoped for.
The evidence of things.
It's the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. Now, are you living by such? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith. And I feel no alarm, you see? Living by faith. For it was by faith that the elders obtained a good report. The elders, our witnesses. We got witness. Sir, what happened here? We have witnesses. We have witness. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Now, I want you to look at a little, I say little known, but I mean, because of that, you don't ever hear these verses. I want you to look at verse 2. We just quoted verse 1. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 2. By what? By faith. Which was also works. Because James, our Lord's brother, said, that's how I'm going to show you my faith. They go hand in hand, you see. That's how I'm going to show you my faith. Now, I want you to look at verse 3. This is very interesting. Verse 3 of Hebrews 11 is our religion. It's our religion. What's your religion, sir? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. What? Yeah, that's my religion. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What's your religion, sir? Well, it's right there. That's my religion. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Something made all this? That's faith. That's God. That's my religion. That's it. That God is. That God exists. And you say, well, who does? Listen, sometimes you get down here in this earth with gravity, and protesters, and all these things, and don't you tell me your faith doesn't wane some. Where's the promise of His coming? But it's right here. Millions cry, oh, no God but Allah. Sorry, no God but Jehovah. Wrong God. Their Savior was a pedophile. He'd have had to visit George. And modern Christianity, we've divided God. We've taken the Trinity and we've actually created three gods. But it isn't so. How can you say that, preacher? Because the three are what?
One.
Hear me. Because he walked once as a man does not keep him such. And that's a huge problem. We've cut off, as it were, a piece of the whole and declared it the whole. Jesus Christ, he is no longer a meek and mild man, vulnerable and tempted in all like manner as you and I. Is he? No. Who is he? He's the King of Kings. He's God Almighty. He's the Lord of Lords. Excuse me. And he's coming one day. And he's not going to be a shepherd boy. And he's not going to be a carpenter. And he's not going to be meek and mild. He's coming in flaming fire, according to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And he's going to be taking vengeance on them who obeyed not his word. You know, Baptists or evangelicals, we've done in a way what the Catholics did. They still have him on the cross. You go to the Spahn Hospital and they got him up on the cross. Get him off that cross. If he hadn't got off that cross, you don't have a religion. And you don't have eternal life if he's still on the cross. But you know what we still have him as? The man. We do. We want to think of him like us. And the man and the cross part is what he did for ransom. But the ransom's been paid. Do you see? That's not who he is today. Today, he's Lord of Lords. Today, he's King of Kings. Today, he's God Almighty. Today, he is the great I Am. Today, He's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. You see, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, the man. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because he got a glorified body. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And the difference is of all importance. It's like that fellow, I was listening to a fellow do a gospel song in this morning in a church, and he said, and that's the most blasphemous thing, the man upstairs. I used to have an elder in this church, in this work, and I had to correct him. I said, he's not the man upstairs, he's God Almighty. And that's what we do when we bring Jesus back down as the man. He's not the carpenter down the street. He's God. And that's what faith is. He's God. That's what made him different. That's what made those that believed in him different. They walked with him and they knew he was a man, but they believed he was God. I believe he is the Son of God. And that's what makes me a Christian. And that's what defines my faith. The Jesus that then, that Saul of Tarsus bowed to on that road to Damascus. You ever read that thing? You think that was that vulnerable, meek? Saul, is it hard to kick against the pricks? Or as he spoke to me 35 years ago this week. Boy, are you through? Yes, Lord. I'm through. That lamb was sacrificed. I'm not, but folks, don't get me wrong here. Don't misquote what I'm telling you. He's God. He became a man to pay my ransom and to pay my sin debt, but the debt is paid. Now, by faith, he is my God. Do you understand? Any more than I'm the man I used to be before my conversion. He got shed of his mortality. Remember, he died. You think, we read this book and we think Moses is still in the desert. He's not. Truth is, nobody knows where he is. Hit his body. Michael, the devil tried to get it. And that's why they make statues, and that's why they make crucifixes, and that's why they paint pictures of Jesus, and they make icons. He was going to use that thing, like the serpent on the brass pole. These are our examples, the cloud of witnesses before us. And this is all by one element, that which is above all, faith. We are to take the shield of faith. What then? Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Boy, you read this book and you read it from front to back and you finally get here, you'll know exactly what he means. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's our charge. All right, here it is. All through my ministry, preacher, what would you have me to do? What would that? I don't know. Get in your lane and run your race. Now, here is wisdom. Once again, some little red verses, but of great, great wisdom. Verse 2 and verse 3, Hebrews 12. Look at it. Looking unto Jesus, the author, okay, and what? The finisher of our faith. Of our what? Our faith. Done. Calvary. Done. That's why he's now God Almighty. The author wrote it and he finished it. What was his last words? It is finished. Who for the joy? Now this is where you and I, look. Man, this thrilled my soul. For the joy that was set before him. We forget that. We get involved in all sorts of things down here. All sorts of worldly pursuits, feelings, emotions. When really, all that we're to do is for the joy that's set before us. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That must be some joy. Because the cross wasn't a pleasant endurance. Despising the shame. And is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Are you living for the joy that's set before you? What do you call that, preacher? Faith, above all, faith. For consider, verse 3, him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Boy, you're talking about a contradiction. Here's God. He becomes sin. He becomes me. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And that's what's going on right now. That's what's going on with professors, so-called Christians all over the land. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. All for our good. It's all as God intended it to be. He's not left nor forsaken us. We're not down here and he's up there and we're just stuck here waiting. Look at verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And no, we haven't. It could come. It could come today. Those in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He did. That's exactly what we did, what he did. But we're being prepared. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And we're to endure this chastening, this ripening, if you will, as sons of God. Not the Son, as sons of God. You see, look at verse 5 through verse 7. And ye have forgotten, yeah, amen. We have, folks. Forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Man, how many times you got to tell children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And this all by one element. Faith. It's all about faith. Above all, we are to take the shield of faith. Then what? We just read it, Hebrews 12:1. Compassed about, let us run the race before us, our charge. Now, once again, here comes wisdom of the word. The chastening, God's refining us. He's molding us into the likeness of his son, but it's all for our profit. Look at verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for what? Our prophet, that we might be partakers of his holiness. We've forgotten that. There's a cost to that holiness. And then in verse 11 through verse 13, this is a glorious chapter. We dwell on the faith chapter, but then we don't go on to the author and finisher of it. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. No, it doesn't. But grievous, yeah. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The peace that passeth all understanding. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. These are great verses for us today, right now at this hour. Now hear it, the summation of it. Hear it all. We're going to read verse 18 down through the last verse of this chapter, verse 29. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Listen, we can approach the throne. Jesus tore down that middle partition, that curtain on that cross, that you and I can go into the Holy of Holies. A place that not even Moses. But ye or come unto the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Our God is what?
Consuming fire.
A consuming fire. Game, set, match. Checkmate. Glory to God. Get your shields out, boys and girls. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Amen. Amen.